Good morning. Today is Friday, November the 10th.
Yep.
That's not D-Day, it's Veterans Day. Which wasn't that connect? That wasn't connected to D-Day.
No.
I don't think so, no. Armistice Day, right?
Yeah. Yep. Leading into a lot of veterans activities over the weekend,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Billy Gillespie. Good morning, dude.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
How's the backstroke?
Oh, man, it's definitely, it's gone from the summer pattern to the winter pattern.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Boy, yeah.
Some of the different challenges that are out there, I would think it's kind of tough to reset yourself.
Yeah, you go from the, you know, we're in wildland season and some of the different things going there, to all of a sudden, now we don't have quite the wildland problem, but now it's traffic collisions.
Mudslides.
Mudslides, yeah. Control burn escapes, things like that.
Is it okay to have the controlled burns now? Everything is... I know Chetco Bar was officially...
Right.
The Santa Rosa, whatever they called that fire, and the Mendocino fires, are they gone too?
It sounds like they've got everything contained down there.
I know the sheriff had his meeting yesterday, but
yeah, you know, and they're at a point now that they've relaxed the burn restrictions.
That's a pretty good indicator.
Today
isn't
was
it?
A permissive burn day.
Well, yeah,
of course, still need your permits, but.
You know, you might get a standing O if you get a fire going today.
Big time. It's wet out there.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, we used to do the slash burns and stuff and the
right. Cleanups.
And if,
right.
If you had a place, you know, and you had your berry pile, you know, this mm-hmm. was kind of the time.
Exactly.
Have those rules changed at all?
You know, with the timber companies, there's been some changes. They still work with air quality. excuse me, they get a non-standard burn permit or an agricultural type burn permit so that they can burn larger areas. Residential type burning, it's they look for fairly small piles, you know, a 4x4 type pile, so that you're not, you know, torching something the size of a house off.
Not Burning Man.
Yeah. Trying to do it in a little more controlled burn method.
That would be understandable.
Yeah.
Now, this time of the year also, we get shifts with the homeless populations also.
Mm-hmm.
I know historically you guys have had issues with fires and
right. Inside
of buildings, outside of buildings.
Yeah, right.
The safety isn't the top concern for a lot of those
folks.
For
a lot of the folks that are in that situation, yeah.
Do you start patrolling different areas or looking, advance?
You watch it. The folks cycle throughout the community. You know, when the weather was still good, there were people hitting the green belts and the brush areas. And now with this type of weather, some of those folks are going to start cycling toward vacant or unsecured buildings. And, you know, it's paramount for property owners to keep their locations secure and check them.
Yeah, I was wondering,
yeah.
Do you guys have a rough list of unoccupieds?
I know through the city, there's what's referred to as a vacant and boarded list. It's buildings that are known to be vacant right now, that the property owner's been notified, you need to secure this, and some of those come and go. Maybe they're vacant, you know, as they're leading into... a new improvement project or something like that, or they're in construction, but some of them have been vacant for
well, like
term.
The old fireworkers building in downtown.
Exactly. You know.
Now we know what we're talking about.
Right.
I think we probably lost about half the crowd.
Right.
Jeez, what is it? Let's see, it was fireworkers, then it was Bistrin's,
mm-hmm.
then it was Six Rivers Bank.
Right. It's and bounced through a number of
Tri-County,
businesses.
Tri-County, and now it's going to be the new Coast Central.
Right. What?
Fourth and F?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Fireworkers.
It's stepping back a little while.
Well, in fact, I think with some of the facade work there, mm-hmm. it kind of looked like maybe you could see the EU.
Right. Some of the past starting to show through again.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. So those types you're not particularly concerned about because they're actively being worked.
Right. You still worry about them. I mean, you look back. What, probably 10, 12 years ago when we had number 1 F Street burn, that was in construction. We had one out in the Everding and T area that was in construction.
Right, the apartment
That one was proven, and a conviction was made on arson. So
what goes on? Is there just the immediate boom right there? They light a fire. They don't think about wood, and all of a sudden the floor is on fire.
Right. Well, in some cases it might be just the person trying to get in, get warm, or they're trying to cook. They're not thinking about where they're building the fire is potentially also wood. In the case of like the one out at Everding and T, that one was an intentionally set fire.
Arson is arson.
It was a day or two away from being sheetrocked. So it was all stick frame inside.
As much wood as possible.
Yes.
Now, what about the vacant homes? And I don't know if they're vacant or not, but when we're driving around town, there are a number of homes, Eureka predominantly,
right,
that have got the weeds growing in the front, the curtains drawn,
that are typically
vegetation all over.
No, I think, occupants.
Grow house. Now, whether or not it is,
right,
it's tough
it's
to tell.
Kind of where your mind goes
automatically
in our day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those homes that you guys will just kind of pay attention to? Is there a list of those that are susceptible to somebody breaking in?
Yeah, some of those tie in also with that vacant and boarded list. And then we end up dealing with some of them when they come up on the radar for weeds or, those kind of complaints.
The weed abatement stuff.
Weed abatement stuff, yeah. Some of them, we don't know whether there's somebody there or not.
Until you knock on the door or you...
Or you
go in the back door
because
it's open.
Drive by and take a peek and just try and keep an eye on it as you're driving around.
I know that the cops have got neighborhood watch. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Gillespie. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Neighborhood Watcher. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the analogy I was drawing, the old beat cop, so to
speak.
Is there a fireman equivalent of that?
Not really. We're broke up in Humboldt Bay Fire. We've got five response areas or five station areas. And so, the units will run calls first due within their area. And then, obviously, if we get a multi-unit response, we shift units wherever they need to go in the community. But not really something like the idea of a neighborhood watch or a beat cop that's patrolling a certain spot. We'll see, like we were talking about vacant structures. And as you're driving around, you'll pick up things over time that, hey, doesn't seem like there's been anybody around this location, or you see the for sale sign that's there forever and ever and think, okay, that's potentially a vacant location.
Yeah, and I know the cops probably are the first ones because the neighbors will call those guys.
Right, when there's some sort of maybe a crime issue or a suspicion.
Yeah, or just, goofies next door that never were there before.
Right, exactly.
Boy, you think there would be some way that would help to increase the efficiencies of what you guys, either in anticipation of or knowledge of,
right.
So as you're rolling, like with the businesses, okay, you've been in, you peeked around.
Right.
By the way,
you kind of know the floor
plan. We got 100% pass last time.
Excellent.
So
good job.
You're not going to get your sandwich this time, sorry.
No, good job.
you don't get that opportunity,
right?
Typically with the individual residences.
No, because where the fire department's mandated to inspect essentially triplexes or larger, so motels, apartments, that sort of thing, but we don't have the inspection authority for a single family residence or like a duplex.
It's interesting the duplex would not be. But maybe because a lot of them are owner-occupied.
And that initially potentially is.
Or mother-in-law units,
exactly,
that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You know, we encourage the community with public service announcements and participate, like, in disaster fairs and that kind of thing to get the message out to people. Hey, smoke alarms, fire extinguishers, which go online and check. Kitty's got a 37 million fire extinguisher recall going right now.
Oh, really?
Across the country, yeah.
KIDDE.
Yep.
Maybe that's why they were advertising in the football games.
Could be.
I mean, all of a sudden they were there, and I mean, they've got a great sound effect.
Yeah.
It's a little concerning initially, and then it gets annoying real fast too.
Yeah.
You got know, me I mean, again, fifth time. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
You know, and like with the fire extinguisher recall just came out in the last week or so. And
this is with the extinguishers, smoke
detectors. Yeah, this is the extinguishers and plastic top ones, and they've got a whole list. I went through and checked the ones at home, and I had two of them. And so, yeah.
So what do you do? Just turn them back in, or you just replace them?
Go through online, and if you register them online with Kitty, they'll send you a replacement. So I'm waiting for my replacements. So I'll let you know maybe next month how long it took.
Or January.
Yeah.
Or February.
Or however long it is. Yeah. But they're starting to
have. So how many extinguishers do you and Jan have in the house?
We've got, I think, three in the house. We've got one in the kitchen, and then I've got two in the garage.
Big garage?
Yeah, no, not really.
Or just two different types?
Just two different types. One's a little bit bigger extinguisher and out by the workbench, and the other one sits by the washer and dryer.
Do you get a workbench?
Yeah, sort of.
I lost that one so many years ago.
I've still got some space there.
Yeah, yeah. He's holding his hands about 8 inches apart. Yeah,
move things out of
somewhere.
The way
you put the paint
something.
Can to open it. Yeah. That's about all she wrote. Yeah. Hey, last month, were you here last month or did
Bill was here, Deputy Chief Reynolds.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's been since the fires down south happened. And we had the situation here with 911 not being up.
Yeah, for a lot of locations. Eureka was fortunate. It still ran.
But a lot of others. Wasn't Cal Fire out for a short window?
I think for a very short.
I know Arcata was, a number of others.
Yeah.
What lessons were learned from that? Because my immediate and it was a visceral reaction, was to come unglued. And we had this one 2 years ago.
Right.
They failed then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Promises.
Mm-hmm.
Definitions shared of who's a customer and who isn't.
Right.
Priorities. And everything's okay. Pat you on the head. You know, escort you out the door. And here it comes again.
Right. You know, like a number of years ago, the dispatch center in Eureka for Eureka Police and Fire that dispatches EPD and dispatches us, When a lot of the phone technology was changing, they stayed with more direct hardline technology, and that stayed upright. You know, it was a case at the office for the fire department. We lost phone communication for a day or two. We had voice over internet phones for the business lines. Dead.
I know. I called you.
And nothing.
And there was. Okay, but if it was just the phones, that's one thing. If it's dispatch,
that's a whole nother, because now you can't get that notification to get out there for help.
And you don't have VoIP for your 911.
Nope.
It's just for the internal, the business side of things.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could should we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Billy Gillespie. Talk Shop presented by Redec and by CDH Painting. This time of the year, you know, we've already missed the batteries.
Right.
But, you know, I'm curious how many of the smoke detectors are, or monoxide, are battery operated, and how many are hardwired these days?
You see both of them still really common in homes. You know, I just took a phone call the other day that got relayed to me of, you know, where should I put my carbon monoxide detector? I just bought one to put in my house.
Wait a minute. I haven't
had one before.
That went up the ladder to the chief to answer the question?
I happened to be in the
or office. Or you were wandering by.
I was available at the moment. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like we had the time change, you know, here last weekend or whatever.
The normal trigger.
Yeah. Change your batteries, check your detector. One of the big ones now is if the detector is 10 years old or older, they recommend to change the detector because they've got better technology. They get dusts and cobwebs and spiders and everything else in them and maybe don't work quite so well, you know. And I did the replacement on one that was an older one. I don't know how long it'd been there, so... threw a new one up.
Is it wise just to press the little tester button? If it works, you're okay?
It's good to check it like that, but definitely if it's battery operated, make sure you swap them because you don't know how much life that battery's got left in it.
Sure.
Know? Yeah, and a lot of folks, we still hear it, you know, well, if there's smoke in the house, I'll wake up. And no, the reality is if there's smoke in the house, you'll go to sleep deeper. You don't wake up for it.
You mentioned that the folks that died in the fires, a lot of the discussion was they were overcome by smoke. What happens when that happens?
Right. You know, it could be whether it was in their homes. Some folks were outside their homes when they were overcome. You'll go through anybody that's been around either wildland fires or you've gotten a big puff of smoke out of a wood stove. You inhale that and you get that momentary. It's like
almost
there's
like
nothing
a,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so is that a lack of oxygen?
If it's a smoke side, it typically is. You've got less oxygen going in. You're overcome. You've got the smoke particles that are going in. But there isn't enough oxygen to be able to for your body to continue to function with it, and that's part of the reason, you know, through all the years, smoke in the house, get down, get low, get out. Your smoke rises, like if you're in a home or a structure, you get down low, and that's where your best air is going to be in a home if you've got smoke and you're trying to escape, and that's typically you'll see us, we're down lower, you're down. A little more out of the smoke, and you're also out of the heat, because the heat's up there too, and you can have quite a spread from ceiling height to 3 feet off the floor.
So in that 5 foot range, what would it be?
You know, if it's a structure fire that's starting to really kick along, you might have maybe at that 3 foot range, you might have 200 to 300 degrees. Whereas at the ceiling, you could be going into 1,000, 1,200, headed toward 1,500 degrees.
So big difference.
Big difference. And as that heat continues to build, that heat layer pushes toward the floor. And once it hits the point that your heat level's high enough for the furniture and that sort of stuff to burn, you'll basically get a flashover where everything's burning in the location. Like for us,
so all the oxygen is then gone at that point.
Yeah, it's burning that out. You've got excessive heat all the way to the floor. People think that the turnouts, the structural gear that firefighters wear, it'll protect them. It'll protect them about 15 to 20 seconds in that kind of heat. It starts breaking down and it burns as well.
So it's really a hustle time.
Yeah, to be able to get. That's why people see us on the roof cutting a hole. It starts letting that heat and smoke go out the top. You can get in. It helps build the profile for a search for victims, because you're letting that heat's going out the top. It also helps us going in, because it gives some places we're putting fire out for the steam and the heat to go.
So it buys time.
It does. It does.
So when you're outside rather than inside a structure, there was a comment about a couple who was outside their vehicle.
Right.
And were then overcome.
Right.
So is that oxygen deprivation just on a much more massive scale?
It can be. Speaking the experience from the wildland side, you can get enough smoke to where on a vegetation fire where you're not functioning well because you don't have the oxygen going in. You get that shortness of breath. And
it's a physical at that point. It's not a mental.
It is. It's a little bit of both. You got the physical side because you're not taking in the oxygen, but then your brain's telling you, you're not taking in the oxygen. And so, it can be the smoke. It can be the flames. If you're in a flame front, it's a tremendous amount of heat. And with the 50 to 70 mile an hour winds down there, they had a tremendous flame front.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Billy, the fires that happened, the wildland fires, which became urban fires.
Right.
Were there any lessons that have been learned that everybody can figure out, either in the wildland side, in the city side, in vulnerability, that kind of, is it too soon, or are some of those lessons already starting to be shared?
I think we're gonna see a lot of lessons come out of it. Some of them are starting to come out when you start looking at neighborhoods and you look at the overview on a neighborhood, and all of the shrubbery is still there, but all the houses are gone. And I don't know, if we're gonna see a trend to try and go to more fire resistive materials. There's, over the last few years, there has been a push in new construction.
Yeah, like that concrete siding.
Right.
Stuff.
Something to try. But I mean, like, even in some of those homes, when you've got a 50 to 70 mile an hour wind, the size of the vent screens is how small was that ember that just blew into the attic? And 10 minutes later, now the attics, the top of the house is burning off.
I would suspect at a certain point you just go, okay, this is an acceptable risk.
Right. I think we may see that comes out of this. There's been a lot of reports of people that said they didn't get like a reverse 911 or a notification. And, landline, hardline versus cell phone. And there's some aspects. The carriers may not have all of those numbers that are cell, because we've seen a big push of people in their homes going from landlines in their homes to cell phones only.
Did the EAS trigger? It must have.
I'm sure it had to have. But the volume of how much they could get out, and, in some of the cases, it's the middle of the night. who's
might
hearing.
Might have been a timing, mm-hmm. yeah, a timing
exactly.
issue. One thing that I hadn't uh-huh. had the consideration, a buddy of ours is working with some of these stations. The station broadcast sites burned up also.
Yes.
The FM's up on the top
yeah.
of the mountain, and it was kind of, in a weird sense, it revitalized the AM side because those
right.
were the only ones that were still functioning.
That was all that could get out, you know, and like some of the different cell companies in conjunction with California State OES, they were bringing mobile sites in as soon as they could get things on the ground so that they could bring cell communication back and start getting some of that back into place.
But even that wouldn't be at a full capacity, so
no,
they would be slammed
definitely
and jammed,
not,
yeah.
you know, with the, and you know, you look at everybody's got one in their pocket, they got one in their car, the whatever, and it's, you know, there's only so much space out there, and when you lose the towers, you lose that communication.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it,
yeah.
maybe social media isn't the best way to go anymore, huh?
Along with all the other goofy things floating around.
It's
one
yeah.
tool, but it takes yeah. a lot of tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just remember us when it happens.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Hey, you bet.
See everybody on Monday and tomorrow for the anniversary show.